It's 11:02 p.m. on the West Coast. No, on the East Coast. What am I talking about? 8:02 on the West Coast. 10:02 p.m. in Minneapolis. I just realized, you know, it's not radio. You know, they're going to see your face. I'm sitting here waiting for the countdown. I'm like, oh, you know, no. Don't pick your nose. Don't. They will see it. I'm just, you know, I think this is our 18th show. I got to check them. It's around there anyway. Hi, I'm Jim Peters. You're watching Jim Peters Tonight. Okay, so here's the deal. We were supposed to have a guest tonight, Dr. Patrick Moore. I've been hyping him for about a week, 10 days. I completely screwed this up. So Dr. Moore confirmed, and I never sent him until this afternoon the actual times we were and how to get on. I screwed this up. So I'm assuming he will come on a later date. We're postponing this. I'm sorry. We don't have a guest tonight. But here's where this comes in. You call in, okay? You see this right here? Okay, jim@night.com/call. We had one caller last night, David from San Francisco, longtime caller, longtime friend. I don't know David other than the fact he calls in. I've never met him in the real world. I don't know. Is this the real world? I think it is. I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you go to jimandnight.com/call. You push the blue button at the top of the screen, and you're in. You check your camera and mic. You hit join, and I will put you on the air. That's the way it works. Now, David asked us, like, first of all, I asked him, I said, is it hard to do? And he said, absolutely not. No, it's simple as pie. It is. And then he also asked me, what happens if you have too many people who are in the queue? And, well, we haven't faced that problem yet. So, I mean, you know, 18 shows in, we've had only a handful of callers so far, way less than 10. Maybe 6 or 7. I don't know. I can't count. But you can add to that. And then you see, you call in, and then we talk, and you're the guest. You got to see how that works? Now, I know this is an unfamiliar process. I understand this. Also, I also know some of you are very hesitant to put your faces on the screen. I know that, too. But there's a solution for that, too. We thought of everything. You, from the pull-down menu in the preview screen, you can check no video. And then it basically, it's like a mute for your video. Instead of the muting your mic, it mutes your video. And then you come on, but we don't see you. Now, you get an option if you do that about uploading an avatar or a picture that represents you. And I'd appreciate it if you do that. This is a visual medium. I have to remind myself of that because I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm on radio and I got to pick my nose. I don't. I even washed my hair tonight. Some guy, I got some guy who's leaving. Okay, the other thing on the screen down here is our text message and voicemail line. So you can leave me a voicemail, 30 seconds, or a text message at that number, 408-458-5088. You can remember that. It's the easiest number to remember in the world, 408-458-5088. And I got a guy who's leaving messages saying, you know, how come you don't wash your hair? Okay, fine. Well, I took a shower tonight. I'm clean. And you guys can smell me if you want. That's the next thing for interactive TV, internet television. Yeah, we'll transmit the smells. I don't think you want that. So Dr. Patrick Moore will not be on tonight. I want to just a little program update. Next Tuesday, we are not going to have a show. I'm going to the dentist. Now, I have no idea if I'm able to talk afterwards or not. So, I mean, I thought, well, we could play it by air, but no, I've been thinking about this. No, I don't. We're just going to can it for Tuesday. So no show on Tuesday. And then, so we have shows next week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So we're going to be going nightly, you know, four nights a week anyway, pretty much till Christmas. You know, we will miss Thanksgiving, which is on a Thursday, obviously. So we're going to miss that show. But other than that, we're going to be going a whole, you know, 3 months nonstop. And I think right now I've been thinking about this. I think I'm going to take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. I don't know. We're going to see. Maybe we'll do New Year's Eve. I don't know. Maybe something like that. We'll find out. But until Christmas, man, we're on it. So anyway, give me a call, okay? We'll talk about anything you want to talk about. You don't have to talk about the news. We don't have to talk about conservative politics. You want to talk about your relationship? Yeah, that's fine. I really, honest to God, I don't give a rip. We can talk about anything you want. So I'm going to pull up my little teleprompter thing here. Okay, so, you know, I like to talk about the weather here in Minneapolis. Today's the first day in 110 days in a row that had not reached 70 degrees. So that's kind of interesting. My wife loves it. She loves the cold weather. I'm not really a big fan of it. And I shouldn't say that. I don't mind the cold weather. I don't even mind the extremely cold weather. I don't like the snow. I really don't. When it's snowy and cold, oh, Jesus. Everything's wet. It's like, you know, you got frozen water. It's like, oh, shit. Just awful. But I thought we'd talk a little bit tonight about the stuff that I wanted to talk about this week and didn't really get a chance to. So the first thing is, you know, we had no UFO news this week, and you know I'm kind of known for that, and I want to keep you folks updated on that stuff. The UFO news this week is that ARRO, the Anomalous Accounting Office of I can't remember what it stands for. That's the new reporting office. It's the Anomalous Accounting and Reporting Office, I think, is where people now can report UFO sightings with the government, which you couldn't do for a zillion years, like literally 50 years. They stopped taking the reports, I think, in 1969. And now they will take your report. And it's at aaro.mil. That's military, not military. And, you know, they're saying, well, now you know it's a real website because they're using an official government domain handle. Okay, fine. Here's my question. Why, you know, they say, and I unfortunately put this on a previous day and I forgot to transfer it. The quote about their transparency, they want to be transparent about this process, about making certain that the public is aware of exactly what is going on in the UAP a sphere. Why all of a sudden the transparency? I think it begs asking, what is going on here? It's like for 50 years they haven't told us shit. For 50 years they've been saying they don't care about UFOs. They don't care about UFOs. We don't care. We don't study this. We don't study. It turned out to be a lie. It was all completely a lie. We know that now. They've admitted it basically, tacitly anyway. And now all of a sudden they're talking about transparency. Well, okay, so what's going on here? Have they had a change of heart? Like, what do they you know, have a couple too many drinks? Seriously, what the hell is happening? Now there's several scenarios, theories about what's going on here. One is that, and this has been floating around for some time in the UFO world, about the fact that at some point they're going to say the UFOs are evil. And we need to prepare for war with them, so we need more money from you. That it's going to be a bald-faced plan to extract more money out of the American public. And like I was talking to David last night, at what point is it enough? At what point now I was thinking about this today. So our very first guest on July 31st is Murray Sabrin, and we'll have him on again. There's certain people that I'm going to have on basically like roughly once a month. So he'll be coming on soon. And he said, he corrected me. And I said, well, Murray, during the 1960s, if I'm right, the top tax rate was 90%, right? And he said, no, no, Jim, it was 92%. In 1960, the top tax rate in the United States was 92%. You heard me right, 92%. That was under certain conditions. And actually, they were really strict. They were strict conditions. You just didn't have to make a shitload of money. It had to do with how you spent the money that year or something. But the thing is, you could, under certain circumstances, be charged 92% of your income for the year in taxes. Now, that's absurd. But I have to tell you, 70% was not unusual. That was kind of the realistic tax, highest tax rate. That wasn't unusual at all. So you turned 70% of your, and amazingly, nobody balked. I'm saying, what the hell? You know, get back to this. This country started because of a tax revolt. This whole thing that you're living in right now, I'm assuming in the United States, I know you don't have to be. This goes everywhere. I know that. But in the United States, this whole thing, this experiment in democracy we have started as a tax revolt. So at what point do the people say enough? Now, this particular administration, which, and I have some news on that in a minute too, you know, they have, it's like taxes have gone up and up and up, and they have increased the deficit more and more and more. And, you know, like I was talking about this last night, Biden goes on about the fact that he's cut the deficit. That's complete and utter bullshit. It's a bald-faced lie. He hasn't done anything of the sort. No, as a matter of fact, it's gone up more in the 3 years of his presidency of any other president ever, and that includes 8 years of his predecessor, Barack Obama. In 8 years, Barack Obama didn't raise the deficit anywhere near as much as Biden has in three, let alone Trump. Now, and, you know, once again, I'm going to talk about this again, too. We mentioned this last night also. Trump gets a lot of crap for not reducing the deficit. And, yeah, that is the one fault of one of the things he did. I've always assumed his plan was that he would get around to it in the second term. But, any rate, so at what point is taxes enough? I mean, you know, there's a lot of people... A lot of people listening to this are paying probably 35%, not to mention your state taxes, which now this was in the news this week. I did not put this in my show notes, but this was in the news this week that the people moved out of Illinois in droves in the last 12 months. Illinois is one of the three top tax rates in the United States, and Illinois had the most people moving out of it. And the assumption is, although this was not in the figures, that most of those people moved out of Chicago to another state. They did not move to quote unquote rural Illinois. They moved to another state. So people are already kind of fed up with this, you know, and not to mention the fact that you realize we're not getting any bang for our buck for our taxes. Now, it pains me to say this, but I do it, you know, I want to be straight with you people. Here in Minnesota, we have, I think, the third highest tax rate in the nation. It's about 10.5% for state tax. It's pretty high, but there's always been this feeling in Minnesota that we are getting our money's worth. That's the reason people move here. The weather's awful. It's awful. Well, 4 months of the year, it's awful. I have to say the other 8 months of the year, it's glorious. But 4 months, you know. But people come here because there's a lot, as democratic governments work, and this one is definitely democratic right now, but as democratic governments work, and this state has long time been a liberal haven, the government here is pretty functional. It is. It's basically we're behind all the dysfunctionality of the rest of the country. You know, I don't know if that's because we're absolutely in the interior. I have no idea, but... Anyway, there's always been the impression here that people get what they're paying for. Now, that may stop soon because the last 2-3 years, especially here in Minneapolis, crime has gone up mightily. Not in the neighborhoods that I generally frequent. They seem to be okay. I don't have any trouble walking around anywhere, but I don't go into the downtown core very often, even though it's literally less than 2 miles away from here. We're on Broadway and Central in Northeast Minneapolis. People might start to revolt now. I know that, you know, there are people that won't go downtown anymore. There's downtown businesses that are really, really screaming about the fact that they're losing money hand over fist because no one's showing up, restaurants and all that sort of stuff. So I don't know, but so far, that's the impression here. We have had a functional government here in Minnesota. I don't know about in Minneapolis. Matter of fact, in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis City Council is made up of lunatics. You heard that they started the defund the police thing in 2020 after George Floyd. They started it, and a lot of those people are still sticking to that. I mean, 3 years later, and everything in the freaking planet's gone wrong, and they're still want to defund the police. So I don't put any faith in the council itself, but the state government seems to be relatively functional. Let's see how long that lasts. Also, I in my podcasts previously, in my radio shows, I have badmouthed Governor Tim Walz, but I have to say I had a personal encounter with him, and I won't go into the details, but I have to say he really impressed me. I got to say, as a person and as a critical thinker, he really impressed me. I've had a change of heart about him. He's still not a fantastic governor, but at this point, I'd say he's at least satisfactory, which is a lot more than you can say for a lot of the other liberal governors across the United States. So what was the statistic I heard just yesterday? It was that in the top 20, I can't remember. So where did I started with this, because the thing is, so about the UFO thing. So the theory is that they're going to say, they being the government, is going to say to the populace, look, these people from outer space are evil, and we need to get our shit together, and we're going to need $1 bazillion trillion to mount a defense in case they decide to attack us. Now, this has been brought up a million times. This is not an original thought of mine, but you would think that if these people were that evil, they'd already have attacked us. Because they're, all right, I kind of have to back up here, but I'm going to go on. Their technology is so far ahead of ours that basically we have no defense. You know, they could probably kill all the life on this planet in a half an hour. You know, there's that weapon they had in one of the Star Trek movies where they did that. They literally just wiped all the life off a planet just, you know, in a few minutes. I'm guessing they could do that. But the thing is, here's the other thing too. You know, I'm talking about ETs. It's not a monolithic thing. Supposedly, the best guess right now is that the people who say they know about this, who've been involved in the government, say that right at the present time, the U.S. government, and let's be blunt here, the U.S. military, has identified about 60 different species of extraterrestrials. In the 1960s, it was 4, and that was pretty well documented, actually, that there were 4 species of extraterrestrials, because Robert Dean, the guy who worked for NATO, he said he saw that in a NATO report. And also, there's this big brouhaha about the fact that at Montauk Air Force Base, that Eisenhower met with the aliens. Now, I don't know if that's true, but Laura Eisenhower, his granddaughter, says she's researched that and has come to the conclusion that it is true. Although he never spoke about it. She said, admittedly, he never spoke about it to the family. Nothing ever came up. But she said she has researched that and has come to the conclusion that, yeah, her grandfather was there. But at any rate, supposedly at that meeting, well, the other thing is there's supposedly a lot of people were at that meeting, and there are people who say they were, and a lot of the accounts of the meeting correlate with each other. They're basically similar. So, you know, I don't know. That's like we're getting off into tinfoil hat world here, and I know that. But what happened at that meeting, two things happened at that meeting that blew the mind of the military personnel. And you'd think meeting with gray aliens would blow their minds, but that didn't. But there's two things that they told them that did. One was, there's 4 different species of extraterrestrials floating around right now in the Earth, you know, orbit, and one of them is biologically identical to humans. In other words, you could sit next to one of these in a restaurant or at a counter at a luncheonette, and you'd never know the difference. That scared the crap out of the military personnel, that there were ETs that were identical to us. The second was, when apparently they said, you know that Jesus Christ thing that happened with that resurrection 2,000 years ago? They said, we did that. And that apparently blew the minds. You have to understand, a lot of the people in the military still are from the South and are still highly religious, more so in the 1950s. And that blew the minds of so many people there. Apparently, several of the generals who were at this meeting immediately retired. They couldn't handle it. That part they couldn't handle. They can handle the rest of it. They can handle the fact that these people flew from, you know, what, 14 light years away and come to a meeting, but they couldn't handle the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected by extraterrestrials. They couldn't handle that. But my point is here, this is not a monolithic thing. No matter what the count is, there definitely is more than one species of ETs flying around the galaxy, for sure. I mean, it's just inevitable, just mathematically speaking. And you're talking about civilizations that are anywhere from 200 to 1 million years ahead of us. That's the span. If you watch Star Trek Enterprise, remember that show? That was the first Enterprise A was the first Earth spaceship that could fly faster than the speed of light. That was basically, we were baby steps for us, right? And I'm sure that's happening. I'm sure there's, and we've gotten so many reports of so many different types of looking creatures or beings. You can make a point that, well, a lot of people are making this stuff up, you know. Yeah, maybe, but some of this stuff, there's a very famous story, and I can't remember, this happened somewhere in the American West, where this guy went out shooting in the woods, and he said he encountered, it was really amazing. He said he encountered these beings. He said they looked kind of human, but they had no chins at all, and they had basically what looked like hay for hair. You know, and you could say, well, okay, he's being put on. But they brought him to the spaceship, and they took off with him. He said he went to their planet. That's what he said, you know. But the thing is, from the impression that he got, and the implication was that these people hadn't been flying around for very long, you know. And you contrast that with, like, you know, the gray aliens or whatever it is, or maybe you've been doing this for tens of thousands of years. So, and the technology that's so far ahead of us, like Arthur C. Clarke said, all technology that is not understood is essentially magic, you know, and that's probably true. So I get back to my original point here, and that is, what are the chances of any of these civilizations actually wanted to destroy us? They probably could have already. We wouldn't even know, you know. I mean, hell, there's a strong theory running around science circles right now that there's a 20% chance. I don't know how they figured that, but they actually have that number. There's a 20% chance, a 1 in 5 chance, that our entire universe is somebody else's computer simulation. That you're not real and I'm not real, you know. We don't know it. So you can think of all the things that could happen here, you know. But that's one of, you know, that one of the things that about why this has already happened. The other theory is that they're really trying to slowly acclimate us to the fact that all this stuff is true. They don't want to panic the populace. Of course, in the 1930s, Orson Welles ran the War of the Worlds thing that completely panicked. And I have to be honest here. I have to be precise. It wasn't as bad as maybe you've heard. But on the East Coast of the United States, because that story took place in the War of the Worlds, the aliens land in New Jersey, on the East Coast, people did kind of go nuts. That it was really pandemonium. But in the rest of the country, there were sporadic outbursts of people going crazy, you know, and a few riots and shit, but no, not really. It wasn't, the whole country didn't blow up. But on the East Coast, yeah, it was serious. It was serious. And the military supposedly always looked back on that saying, well, look, the public can't handle this, you know. But now there's more and more surveys being taken. The majority of the public thinks extraterrestrials are real. The majority of the public, according to Gallup and Rasmussen, whoever does these polls, think the ETs are coming to Earth. The majority of the public thinks this stuff now. And, you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, X-Files, all this sort of stuff was actually produced to acclimate the public to these ideas. I don't know if that's true or not. I mean, supposedly Spielberg has alluded to the fact that he had some inside knowledge, some inside info coming out of the Pentagon to make his movie. Still, I don't think people are going to, you know, why did Chris Carter make the X-Files? Because it was really interesting and he made a lot of money. I don't think, you know, let's not overthink this. I don't think that's what had anything to, the acclimation part had anything to do with it. But still, that's a theory, that the reason they're doing this now is they want to acclimate to the point of the public. And was it Richard Dolkin who said this recently? I don't think there's, and I agree with him, I don't think there's going to be any real hard disclosure, in the sense I do not think the president's ever going to get up at a podium and say, E.T. is here. I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's just going to be slowly dripped out until it's obvious to everybody what's going on. That's what I think is going to happen, and that seems to be the path we're on right now, especially with the government. So this David Grush, he said that, there's another thing too. I think this is really important. You can call me up, by the way. Go to jimandnight.com/call, and we can talk about this. You can tell me I'm crazy. It's fine. I've heard it before. All right, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. That's terrible. Awful. So you're going to have these ET folk, right? Maybe I should just retire. What the hell? What is, you know, shit. I can't keep an idea in my head. God damn it. What the hell? I don't. Okay, so we were talking, yeah. What were we talking of? I'm going to move on, okay? This is the other thing I got that happened this week, and that is there's a report coming out. This was in several publications that scientists are working on how to conceive babies in space. Now, you're thinking, well, we all know how to conceive babies. We know how to do that, but there's a problem. That is, it may not work the way you want it to work in zero gravity. That's the problem. Now, you may ask, Jim, hasn't anybody done that in space before? So here's the history of that. When Skylab was running the laboratory, the little space station we were standing up there in the 1970s and 80s, we sent up a husband and wife astronaut team. And at the time, I didn't even have to research this. I remember this distinctly because I thought it was hilarious. At the time, it was like, well, so everyone's asking, are they going to have sex in space? And NASA said, oh, absolutely not. That's completely forbidden. Oh, bullshit. You know they had sex in space. What the hell? They're married. It's like, why are you sending them up there together? It's like, what do you expect them to keep their hands off each other for 3 weeks? Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, no. We don't want that. We don't want them to have sex. Oh, God. Get over it. And then there's another thing. When the Russians were running the Soyuz space station around the same time, And they were, I don't know if you remember this, we were doing this too, but they were doing it even more than we were. They were sending people up there for like a year and a half at a time. And these places are not that big. They're about as big as a coach bus. I mean, you know, they're not really, you know, you're stuck in a coach bus not being able to leave for a year. Think about that. Okay, then that's actually the point here. So they were sending these astronauts up for long, long stays, the Russians. And then they sent up two women to join them. And the buzz in the science world is that they sent those two women up to, quote unquote, service the male astronauts who were already there. That was the buzz, you know. But who knows if that's true? I don't know. You know, now supposedly people have kind of, I don't know if anyone's ever actually admitted to trying this, like that is copulation in space, but supposedly it's not that easy. Because, you know, zero gravity does make it very difficult. And also, as far as making babies, there's also the conception aspect too. Like, so you, let's say you can successfully do that, but that doesn't mean you're going to have a sperm and an egg meet each other because they're all everything's floating around. So that's what they're getting at here. And I'm sorry, I'm a 12-year-old boy and I'm laughing. So, yeah. So what was I going to say before about the ETs? Will I remember? No, I won't remember. Jesus Christ. Okay, so hold on. I was talking about how Biden, you know, completely lied about the deficit and all this sort of shit. So a new poll came out yesterday, a CNN poll that says, here's a headline from CNN. Dems have buyer's remorse on Biden. Though Dems buyer's remorse on Biden is real and spectacular. So what this poll came to the conclusion of is that is nobody likes anything Biden's doing. Nobody, including the Democrats and a majority of the Democrats. These are numbers like that 35%. No, nobody likes anything Joe's done. You know, it's really there. It's amazing. The Democrats seem to be pinning their hopes on the fact that they're going to run against Donald Trump, and they think that he's so disliked that Biden can still beat him. But there's a whole bunch of factors different now than there were in 2016. First of all, Trump has had one successful 4-year term as president. Biden, unless some miracle happens, which won't, will end up, by the time we vote next November, we'll end up with one extremely poor 4-year term as president. So we know what these guys can do now, you know. And we know what Trump could do in 2022, but he's so disliked, and he is. I mean, he is. I mean, it's like 40% of the public hates his guts. I don't understand this at this point, because at this point you'd think, well, okay, you got two known quantities. If I'm right, I stopped to think about this while I was in the shower. If I'm right, Trump is the first non-incumbent president to run for re-election since Teddy Roosevelt, I think. And that was like in 1903 or 1904, or something like that. It's been over 100 years. So you got a guy who's, you've got two guys who've both been president or are running for president. Hardly has ever happened. You know, because you have to understand, too, that when Teddy had already done two terms, he was running for a third, because at that point you could do that. FDR ran for four and won four. He died a few months into the fourth, so he only served like 13 years. And it is astonishing how quickly Congress got their shit together and passed the, I can't remember what number the amendment is the 25th, which limited presidents to two terms. And that happened right after. You know, so I got Cooper here. Cooper Shaw. Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Hi, is this Jim at Night?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
this is Cooper.
Yeah, little thing on your head there.
I'm an alien.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Okay, so you want to tell me how I'm nuts? Go ahead.
No, I don't want to tell you you're nuts. As I said, I'm an alien.
Oh, okay. And, all right.
Okay. I've got a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about, if we can.
Yeah, sure. Please go ahead.
Okay. So I wonder if you could share with us the research that Ike's granddaughter did that substantiated that he went to a meeting with extraterrestrials.
Oh, I actually don't know. I'm just telling you what she said.
I do know.
Huh? What?
I do know.
Okay, go ahead.
It's an episode of, or as a what do you guys call it? It's an issue of People magazine.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, that was the research.
Yeah. Well, like I said, the only thing I do know is she said he never talked about it. So it's not family lore or anything like that. She did the research supposedly herself. So
now here's the other thing. You know that Ike was eventually put in a bottle by the space aliens. Are you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah. And then they commercialized it. Are you aware of that?
No. He smells really nice. Is that what happened?
No, it's Mr. Clean. Take okay. Do you have a bottle of Mr. Clean in your house?
Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah, bring it on to the show. You'll see. That's Ike. Take a deep look.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. What planet are you from?
The planet of Ozark.
Okay. All right.
Now, you said there's a 20% chance, I thought this was fascinating. There's some things I can't reveal. You said there's a 20% chance that you're just part of some kind of a grand video game or something?
No, that you are. There's I don't know how they came up with this figure, but apparently there's some math involved in this. That's the people who are espousing this theory said there's a 1 in 5 chance that our entire universe, our entire world, is a computer simulation. Yeah.
Yeah, so a 20% chance.
Right.
Well, I have to say, speaking for all the aliens, that's fascinating.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That's some deep statistics, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I know. And I don't understand how they come. I don't understand how you can come up with that figure. But apparently, you know, more than one scientist have said this. So I don't understand how they get it. So
I'm in a gymnasium right now with about 50 other folks from Ozark.
Uh-huh.
And can we tell you? We'd like to tell you what we think. Well, first of all, you remind us of another talk show host named Tom Snyder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. He's one of my heroes. Yeah.
We loved him. We think you're brilliant and that you have a huge career ahead of you.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. Thank you. I knew Tom a little bit. I exchanged emails with him for several years. We had an email conversation going on. That was kind of nice.
We think the best chance for your success, by the way, is to do one show a month.
Yeah, it probably is. The way this is going, it's probably true. Yeah. So, what else you got?
Well, we'd like to share with you what we think the best moments of your show are, typically.
This one or all of them?
Well, this one is a perfect illustration.
Okay, first of all, before you go on, I got to ask you. I've had people get. I'm looking at myself on the monitor here. You know, everyone says that my face is red.
Tonight, it looks like you took some Dusty Miller and rubbed it into your face.
Yeah, I changed the lighting again. I've been fucking with this for like 18 shows, you know?
It's like your jaw and that part above your lip is kind of white, and then there's some red. But it looks like you were able to secure some shampoo this time.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you. That's right. I did. I took a shower ahead of time. Yeah.
Well, that's why you're going to be a star. You go to that sort of length. That's quality. That's quality programming, Mr. Jim at Night.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
so do they get my show on the planet you're from?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Now,
so you have the intertube there.
So we wanted to tell you what we think the best moments of your show are. Can we share that with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's when you lose your train of thought.
Yeah, thanks. I know. That's great, isn't it?
That's absolutely riveting.
Yes, it is.
I think there's not another talk show on that can match it.
No, there isn't. I know it's awful. It's terrible. You know? God damn. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. What to, you know, I don't know. I'm old.
Well, and there's one more thing, because you have virtually, but just on your own, on your show, you've virtually proven that extraterrestrials exist.
Okay.
By the quoting of some of the statistics that you've got.
Yeah. Which is,
you have an awesome handle on these statistics, and we want to compliment you.
I've been studying this for 30 years.
But what most people in outer space who are able to travel think, they think that that alleged meeting with Ike, you know, you were talking about this alleged meeting where Ike went and actually met with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
You know what we think that was?
What?
We think that was the 42nd episode of Merv Griffin.
Okay. Well, I told you, like I was saying, that's tinfoil hat crap. I know that, you know, so yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, we think you're doing
a little thing on your head.
We think you're doing a great job, and we hope you continue.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. No, seriously, I do. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Now, you know, I have to ask you, I ask everybody who calls, was it hard to call in?
No, it was not hard to call in.
And you're on a phone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, because I can just tell you the framing, and it works fine. Look at that.
We're all on phones out here.
Yeah. Right.
Or my spaceship is a phone. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, the whole thing's a phone.
I didn't know.
And I've created a speed dial for you, and I just say, call Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Keep up that research. Back,
okay.
Keep up that research. See if you can get Ike's daughter on the show. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, you know something? I got to tell you something, Cooper. She's kind of a weirdo.
That's hard to imagine. She's spending so much time researching the meeting with aliens. I don't see how she can be a weirdo.
Yeah, I know.
Can I tell you that we all have a fear on Ozark?
What's that?
That when we call into the show, we can never get off.
Well, we're far from that. So,
All right.
You know, David called last night and he asked me, he said, well, what happens when the queue fills up? And I said, well, we haven't found that out yet. So, you know, I don't know.
Some contingencies are so remote, it isn't worth planning for.
That's correct. You're absolutely right. Yes. Thank you.
Well, you carry on.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Goodbye now.
Bye. That's Cooper calling from the planet Ozarks. Of course, he's, you know, no, I look, I'm sorry about the fact that we're losing my internet thought. It's terrible. It is. It's awful. You know, so, I mean, it's inexcusable for somebody who's doing what I'm doing. And yeah, there you go. I'm doing it. I'm losing my train of thought. You know, Jesus, we don't run commercials here. We don't have any breaks. It's terrible. Just awful. All right, so let me get back to what I was talking about. Okay, so I was talking about this thing about the fact that the CNN poll said that Biden's doing spectacularly bad. And this is not looking good for the Democrats at all. You know, they think they can beat Trump, which is the reason they really want Trump to run against Biden. I mean, I don't have to tell you, every time they indict Trump or anything bad, his numbers go up, you know, so... And the other thing that came out of this poll, which is really, really interesting, I've been waiting for this to happen, is he keeps talking about Bidenomics. Well, according to the poll, Bidenomics, the term, is now taken on a negative connotation. It's basically completely backfired on them, you know. So I just want to talk about here. Last night I was talking about the fact that I went to the grocery store, bought like, you know, 12 items, $75. I take my mother, you know, I'm talking about my mother, and David last night even mentioned my mother. I'm hoping to get my mother on the show. I'm having a hard time doing it because she doesn't understand technology, and my I'll be blunt, my relatives don't want to help me out. I see my mother every couple weeks. She lives right outside the Twin Cities Metro here, and I take her shopping. You know, she goes shopping, and we go to the dollar store. Now, and I have to be specific here, not any dollar store, the Dollar Tree. And I think the Dollar Tree and Family Dollar are owned by the same company. I'm not sure certain about that. I didn't check this ahead of time. I think they are. But at any rate, the Dollar Tree is the only dollar store left where everything is still a dollar in the store. Except it isn't, because now, about 3 months ago, they raised everything to a dollar and a quarter. So there's your Bidenomics right there. The Bidenomics ruined the dollar store. Fuck you. No, I love the dollar store. The dollar store has kind of become a thing in my entire family. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if you guys go there. And the things here in the city, this is really terrible, but most of the dollar stores, even the newer ones, are just kind of trashed because they have so many people go. But when my mother goes in her small town, they have a very nice dollar store, and it's not small, and it's not trashed. And it's like everything's, you know, it's like amazing the shit you can buy for a dollar and a quarter. Just incredible. But at any rate, you know, my point is they're trying to say the Biden administration, the White House came out trying to say that Bidenomics, you know, trying to talk about Bidenomics, and it's completely blown up in their face because every goddamn American goes shopping and we all know what's going on. You can't. It's hard to hide this shit. How they thought they could just gaslight the public and we'd buy it. No, that's not what happened. You know, you could gaslight the public about a lot of things they don't know a lot about, like the unemployment figures. Oh, and there's just, you know, this is not in my show notes. Actually, it is from another night, and then we're going to talk about it. So I did write this down about the fact that here's a little fact that you probably don't know. So the unemployment figures and the figures from the budget off congressional budget office, and what is the GBO, where the general accounting, where it is, whatever the hell these figures come from, you know, they put out the unemployment figures every month, how many people are working and what sectors, all this sort of stuff. Well, those figures, now it's not unusual for those figures to be revised the following month for the previous month. It's not unusual, but in this case, since Biden took office, some of these months have been revised 2 or 3 months later, and every single revision, with no exception, has been down. In other words, the numbers you're getting at the beginning of the month on CNBC and Fox Business and all this sort of stuff, those numbers are not right. And a lot of people are thinking this is deliberate. Because how could you do 30, what is it? It's been 2.5 years. So he's been at least 30 months. How can you do 30 months where the figures went down every single time? So, I mean, if you were going to be a skeptic and a conspiracy theorist like me, you'd think, well, this is their way of saying, well, we're reporting the correct numbers. And ultimately, they would be, ultimately. But that's not the numbers people pay attention to. People seldom look at the revisions. They pay attention to the numbers that actually come out, you know, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern on a Friday or whatever the hell it is. You know, if you watch CNBC, I watch Fox Business, and you watch these things, they report them literally the minute they come out, like unemployment rate, all that sort of stuff. The numbers are not right. That's the thing. And they're gaslighting you again. So is it just chance that they've been revising these things down 30, 32 months in a row? Is that just chance? I don't think so. I'm starting to think nothing happens by chance. I mean, seriously, I've said this before. I've been doing this now for about 3-4 years. I worked for a conservative news service. I'm just getting completely paranoid. I'm starting to think nothing that the government puts out is real. I just can't buy it. No, I don't know. Any rate, here's another statistic you don't know. In terms of categories, all right, the president is touting the fact that he's got an historically low unemployment rate. And technically on the numbers, that's true. You know, he also says he's created more jobs than any other president. That's bullshit because of the pandemic. That's a zillion people were out of work. Those are people that just went back to work. He didn't create any freaking jobs. But on the surface, the unemployment numbers seem to be correct. You know, I think it's at 3.9% this month, I think, something like that. But what you don't know is in the terms of sectors of hiring, the different categories of jobs, by far the biggest hirer is, wait for it, the federal government. They're hiring by far more people than any other category. Because it's absolutely imperative that the government do everything for us and that we spend all this money they take in taxes and actually spend a lot more. You know, we have to run up a deficit, too. We got to do that. I mean, it's just Senator Tuberville was on Fox News a couple of days ago, and he pointed out just a little fact that I thought was a little factoid I thought was really interesting, and that is currently in the military, the U.S. military, across the entire military, we have 44 four-star generals. Now, there have been, if I'm right, in the history of the U.S. military, there have been 3 5-star generals. I can't name them. Eisenhower was one, and then I think there was one during the Civil War or something like that right after. And there's been, but if I'm correct, there's been 3 5-star generals. But as that, they're exceptions. As a normal course of business, 4-star generals is the highest you can get in the military. That means you're running your branch of the military, and we have 44 of them. Well, who's running? Like, isn't, don't we have a few too many cooks in the kitchen? I mean, you know, what is going on here? Do we? You know, this is Tuberville's point. We do not need 44 4-star generals. We don't. The government is just ballooning catastrophically. It's already a bureaucracy out of control. And then, you know, people wonder why nothing works. Well, you can't steer this ship. This ship is going to, this ship is, you know, the Titanic times 20. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. And then you get to the point where, okay, why do they want to run against Trump? And like I said, I'm going to go on the assumption that everybody agrees with me here. Trump is not well-liked. You know, 40% of the public hates Trump's guts. I don't, but 40% do. And most of that hate is completely irrational, especially at this point. I understand in 2016, if you hated Donald Trump. But at this point, he's already served a term as president. That term went pretty well, way better than the guy going on right now. And it really begs the question, why don't they want him to become president? What is so scary about him being president? And I think, especially now, because, and not even the stuff that's going on with the indictments, even with the Russia collusion thing that happened during his term, I think they think he's going to be out for blood. And guess what? I think he is. And being out for blood is, you know, the president runs the executive part of the government, which means, like, he can't, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm going to eliminate the Department of Education. Well, you can't really do that, but you could defund it. You could take all that money that they spend and take it away from them, because you run the, you run the governmental accounting as the executive branch. You could do that. And that means you're going to have to let a whole bunch of people go. And that's what I think the fear is. You have the bureaucratic deep state is terrified that they're going to lose their jobs. And most of these people should. I mean, look at Pete Buttigieg. Okay, so we have had now months where about any particular week or day, 10 to 25% of the flights in America are running late, right? Way above what was supposed to be the baseline, way above. And so you could say, well, okay, that's not the problem of the government. And that's what I would say too normally. But you, I'm not going to lose my train of thought here. I'm just finding my words. If this happens across the board for all airlines at the same time, and it seems to be continuous, at that point, you do have to say, well, geez, maybe this is a governmental problem. And supposedly the problem is they are short of air traffic control people. That's supposedly what the actual problem is. And just like in the government or in the military recruitments are down 30% this year in the last 12 months, down 30%. And they've never really gone down in the past ever. I mean, we've always been able to basically count on a certain number of people every year to join the military. And that number hasn't basically varied since Vietnam. And all of a sudden, it has. And so you wonder, well, why? Could it be because, you know, people look at this and say, well, you know, this is a pretty shitty run operation. You know, it's like kind of woke, and then I'm going to have to take diversity training. And, you know, and really seriously, people who are going to sign up for the military, they'll take the last people who want diversity training, you know. But I'm going to take you transfer that to, like, the Federal Aviation Administration. It could just be because nobody wants to work for these people because they're doofuses. You know, so they're having a hard time hiring these agents. And the really weird thing is, it's way easier to be an air traffic control person now than it was 40 years ago. Way easier, because the majority of it's now done by computer. You know, in the 1970s, if you watch the movie Airport or some of these other films, it was a truly stressful job because you had to watch the scope, you know, without taking your eyes off it for hours at a time. It was and if you made a mistake, people died. You know, now the computers handle 80 to 90% of it. So it's a lot easier, and yet they can't find people to do it. You know, it's like, it reminds me, I know a guy in town here who runs a fairly large commercial manufacturing operation. He owns it. And he's told me, he said, Jim, you know, we can't find, I don't know if you know what a CNC machine is. It's a master die cutter machine. These machines can be very large. These machines can be very large depending on the number, the size of the parts they're making. This machine casts the master die. Let's say, you know, you need 1,000 widgets. Well, it cuts the first widget, the widget you make all the molds out of. So it has to be extremely precise. Now it's run entirely by computer, and that's the point I'm getting at here. You know, you feed AutoCAD or whatever the hell you're designing on directly into it. Okay, so these machines are mostly computer controlled, and at this point, running them is mostly a computer type job. You're not, you know, you do have to have a basics, an understanding, mechanics and basically, you know, mechanical stuff. But it's mostly a computer job. Now, my friend told me that it takes 6 weeks of training to learn how to run the machine. And after that, you are basically guaranteed a six-figure job. It's a highly specialized thing. People who can do this well get paid very well. They're highly sought after. All large manufacturing enterprises in the U.S. use these things. So he said, you go to school for 6 weeks and you can basically get a six-figure job. And he said, we have a hard time filling these things. We can't get people to do it. That's nuts. That's nuts. So you mean there's like 30-year-old kids sitting in their mom's basement playing video games who would rather still play video games and run a computer at some manufacturing plant and make six figures? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Well, it was nice of nice of Cooper to call there. I appreciate that. I got other stuff here, but you know, we're pushing an hour, and I think I'm just gonna go have a Coke. See, you got, if you call, we have 2 hours blocked off for the show maximum. With our distribution networks, we can't go past 2 hours. But I, you know, the standard show we do here when we have a guest is usually 90 minutes. And so, but if you call up, I will continue, and you're not calling up. So, you know, I don't know if I should go on, because I'm going to lose my train of thought again. And then I'm going to look stupid. I'm just stupid. All right. I'll end with this. This is out of Breitbart. Lawsuit: New York City mother claims son was instantly killed by Peloton bike. So the deal is, he's on the floor doing exercises. He gets up and decides to use the Peloton bike to help him get off the floor, and the bike tips over and tips on top of him and just happens to land exactly so it severs his carotid artery in his neck, and he dies instantly. And so they're going to sue Peloton. Seriously, do we need to sue people for everything? You know, and now, you know, millions of these bikes are out there, millions. And this is the first time this has happened. I mean, like, and somebody said, it's a freak accident. No shit. It's a freak accident. And Peloton, bless their souls, they're not caving. They've decided they're going to fight this. It's a freak accident. But nope, somebody's got to sue, you know. We all need our money because none of us are getting enough. And that's because the Biden administration is printing it like mad. And therefore, it's worth less money. You know, do we have to go through an Econ 101 to figure this out? No, you don't. You know, it's simple why this is happening. Okay, so next week, I'm taking Tuesday off. I'm going to the dentist. I'm going to probably have my mouth all filled with Novocaine. I don't want to get on here and start babbling like an idiot, because I do that. Do that enough when my mouth is not filled with Novocaine. So I'm really good at that already. So, and we don't have any guests lined up for next week, but I'm working on it. So remember, you can call in. You can be a guest on the show, just like Cooper was. And did you see? We didn't see Cooper's face. We didn't see it. See? So you don't have to put your face on the screen. You know, he had that very interesting thing on the top of his head. It was kind of cool. I kind of like that. And our thanks to David for calling up yesterday. We had a nice conversation with him. Nice to touch base with him. I'm going to be blunt here. I'm going to try to get Jazz Shaw on. Now, Jazz Shaw was on our 7th or 8th show, I think it was, and that was by far the most people watch this thing since we started. Not only that, him and I call him my brother from another mother, because him and I have the same beat. We've had the same beat for years. He does conservative politics and UFOs. That's what he knows about, and that's what I know about, so I love talking to him. So we're going to see if we can get him on next week, but I don't have anything guaranteed yet. So, folks, I hope you have a nice weekend. I hope you join me back here Monday. It's 11 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday. Next week, not Tuesday, but Monday through Thursday. And like I said, we're going to be going balls to the walls basically until Christmas. So I hope you join us, you know, every night. On your little phone, take your phone out to bed, and you can your AirPods or whatever the hell you got, and you can watch and listen to me, and maybe I can put some nice pictures on the screen. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Anyway, I've decided this is my closing phrase. Good night, Uncle Donnie, wherever you are. I'll see you next Monday. Take care.